Children, we're starting.
That's right.
Showtime!
Another Fresh Picked Pod from audio2u.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
You might wish to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to episode 96 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from audio2u.com. With me on the line once again via Skype from Melbourne, Shelton Muller. How are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
Mate, I'm good. I've got a question for you. If I want to take some family snapshots, will a 12 million megapixel camera do the trick?
It sure would, mate. It'd be a hell of a file. Are you going to tell people the story, or
that
do
was
I
my next
have...
question? Was how big a hard drive am I going to need for the raw images?
Just to store one raw image, can you imagine? Yes, a 12 billion pixel image. That'd be interesting. That's just pushing the resolution a little too far. Do you want to tell people this story so that I can spare myself the humiliation, or should I say it so that I can spare myself the humiliation?
I'll tell it if you like.
But be warned.
I hopped on the train yesterday afternoon on my way home, and this guy came and sat beside me, and he was reading a newspaper, but I noticed that underneath his newspaper, sitting on his lap, was a copy of Better Photo magazine. Is that what it's called, Better Photos?
Thanks, Bruce. How long have we been doing this podcast?
Better Photography.
Better Pictures.
Better Pictures.
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, mate.
So that is the other version of Total Image. It's the Camera House version.
That's
of Total
right.
Image. That's fine.
So
I'll
it's
let you
the better Pictures, which is the.
It's your birthday. I'll be nice to you. 39
you.
Today, is that
That's
right?
That's it, yep.
Well, okay. Fair
so,
enough.
Anyway, this guy has this copy of Better Pictures magazine sitting on his lap. And so I said to him, I said, mate, do you mind if I have a flick through Better Pictures? And he said, oh, yeah, sure, you know, and hands it over to me. So I start flicking through the magazine, and on page 6, I find an editorial on the new Sony Alpha A700,
mm-hmm.
and the text reads, with this new 12.24 million megapixel sensor. And so I couldn't resist the temptation, after I'd stopped laughing, to grab my phone and ring Shelton and say, mate, this is a great camera.
Talk about resolution. Yeah. The size of the sensor in that thing is the size of the back of a truck, you know. Yeah. So, you know, the camera itself is the size of a Kenworth, you know. Yes, it was a slight, you know, look, always, there's always something that goes to the keeper.
Ah, for sure.
One of the phone numbers, I'm running a trip to Patagonia in Argentina next year, November yep. next year. If anybody wants to come, you're more than welcome. What a hell of a place to shoot.
Mm.
And anyway, I've put down a phone number, and of course it's one digit short, isn't it? So,
oh,
you know.
No.
So anybody wants to go to Patagonia, don't ring that phone number. So, yes, a couple of things went to the keeper, which is a cricketing term that we use here in Australia.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the way it is. But we do know that it's a 12 million pixel, not megapixel,
yes.
camera. So, you know, fair enough. So,
I know it's a geeky thing, but I thought it was funny.
No, that's all right. Well, it's appropriate that you should bring up, you know, all sorts of controversial things on number 96 of mm-hmm. our podcast.
Of
because
course.
I don't know whether you're old enough to remember a TV show
yeah.
that was Australian by the same
yep.
name.
That's
number
right.
Number 96, but it was made in the very early 70s and featured all sorts of things like full frontal nudity and nasty things like that. What's that?
It was pretty progressive for its day.
Progressive is an interesting expression, if that's the word you want to use. But we will try to keep this episode, this number 96, a little less controversial. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
You've already started, of course, on picking on my magazine, which is just out. So if you're in Australia, go down and get it. And if you're in America, gee, I'm very sorry, but no one seems to have a free photo magazine over there. Somebody might
right?
want to start one up. Sorry?
There's no free magazine in America.
Well, no free photo magazine I'm aware of. If there is one, I'd really like to know. If you're listening over in any part of the world and there's
wow.
you know, a free photography magazine from your local photo retailer, let me know. I'd be interested
well,
to know.
Maybe that's your next business opportunity.
Well, it could be.
Set up a US affiliate.
Yeah. Well, that'd be great.
I mean, you're already writing all the content, so...
Oh, yeah. But I'd have to spell color, C-O-L-O-R.
You just use find and replace in Word.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, but yeah, it's not an impossible thought.
Yeah.
You know, and you're 2 weeks off before you...
Oh, mate, I can't believe it. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
That's terrific, which is Friday, Australia time tomorrow.
Yeah,
today,
that's right.
Thursday, yeah. So, well done, mate.
I've bought myself a new toy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which I'm buying it from the US over eBay, and I've decided rather than have them ship it here and me potentially miss it, I'm actually having them send it to Ventura for me so I can pick it up when I get there.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a cable release for my 7D because I don't actually have a cable release, which means that I can't do anything longer than a 30-second exposure because with, you know, with your bulb setting, you've got to have a cable release.
Yes.
So, yeah, this thing was like $12.99 US, including the postage.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's an electronic cable release? Yes. Or?
Yep. Does half press for focus, full press for release, and full press and slide to lock it in on the bulb setting.
You're kidding me?
No. That's what I thought. I was like, man, that's just crazy cheap.
Because I have to get the Nikon one, because today we're actually going to talk about why you need a cable release. Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons.
Worth mentioning.
I'm going to have to look at that. I want to get hold of one for my D200. Because I'll need one before I go away myself.
Yep.
Because I want to do some long exposures down the Great Ocean Road and where we're going in a couple of weeks.
Sure.
So, which is something we're going to start talking about over the next few weeks, is long exposures and all that kind of thing. So you'll have to tell me, what's the name of this cable release? Is it the Sony one or is it a generic brand?
It's a generic brand. And if you just give me 2 seconds, I will go and open up the email. And I will actually, keep talking amongst yourself.
Yeah, just talk among yourselves, folks, while I put Bruce on the spot. And that's just to pay him back, of course.
Of course.
You know, thousands of people across the world are now going to know that I'm a crap editor.
It's from a group called Unifox, UNIPHOX, Photographic Products. And it just says, remote commander for Sony Alpha DSLR A100 digital camera. 100% compatible with Minolta Maxim, Dynax, AF7D, 5D, AF9, 7543, AF807SI, 800SI, 700SI, blah, 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 blah. So there's like all the previous Minolta SLRs, analog as well as digital. And it just plugs into your remote terminal and off you go.
Right. Yeah.
And it was, you know, buy it now, US $6.99 and $6 in postage.
And they sent, awesome. And it's electronic?
Yeah.
That's freaking me out.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Okay. This is me being freaked out.
Well, I'll send you the link for it so you can have a look at it. But I'm sure if you did a search on eBay for, you know, remote shutter, you'd probably, find one for the Nikon as well.
Yes. Well, let me just type in.
There were
heaps
of others.
Unifox remote cord Nikon D200. Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll have to have a look at that because the Nikon one is ridiculous.
Well, that's the thing. I know what prices are like out here. I was expecting to pay, probably $70 or $80.
Yeah.
And I looked on eBay and went $6.99. I can probably afford that.
I think I can afford that. Yes. So, fantastic. Oh, yeah, that's terrific.
I've already, traded a couple of emails with the guy, and he sounds quite reasonable. And he just said, send us the address you want it, mailed to here in the States, and send the money via PayPal and we'll get it out. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to look into that. Mm. There you go. And the reason, of course, you need a cable release, one of the reasons you need a cable release is to do what, Bruce?
Timed exposures.
Yeah, that's right.
Longer than 30 seconds.
Well, and that's an interesting thing. We talked about this last week. We got Landon, and you spoke. We looked at Landon's images.
Yeah.
While we're online, and you've got Landon lined up for next week, I'm told.
Absolutely. Yep.
Fantastic. And of course, before we get into that, let's just do this right. I wanted to thank Richard Annable. Thank you, Richard, for putting us on your blog. It was a great shot, and you should blog your moment of fame there. Well, your kind of photography, mate, there'll be many more moments of fame to come. Don't you worry about that. And you got a nice email you want to acknowledge too, Bruce.
I
do you want
did.
To do that?
I got a great email from Gary Hagenbart, I think he pronounces it. And basically he said, sorry, I'm just looking for it now. He titled it Yosemite
We're
Trip.
We're just so well prepared in this podcast. Crap, crap, giggle, giggle.
That's it.
Photography tip.
And he said, Bruce, I took a quick trip to Yosemite last weekend, partially inspired by your upcoming trip. Anyway, wanted to share some of the photos and some thoughts on shooting there based on my recent experience. I'm no expert, but maybe something will be useful. And he then wrote this 150-word essay on all the different spots to look for and to shoot from. And he said, you know, El Capitan's best shot in the morning and Half Dome's best shot in the evening. He said, you know, no matter where you go, there's going to be, you know, hundreds of photographers with tripods, so you need to sort of scout out an area early.
Yep.
He also mentioned that there was a particular area just there's a tunnel that leads into the park that you drive through.
Yes.
And he said on your way out of the park, just before you get to the tunnel, he said there's a quite a large car park area, and most people will stop and take photos from that park. But he said there is a, I think he said it was about a 5 to 10 minute hike, which takes you along a trail to, now what do you call it? I'm just looking, Inspiration Point. Mm-hmm. He said what most people do,
like a makeout place, doesn't it?
What most people do miss is the trail up to Inspiration Point. It's at the end of the parking lot on the south side of the road. The trail is pretty easy to spot. A 5 to 10 minute hike will get you views that most people don't see.
Fantastic.
And and he had some other tips in there, and I just thought, wow, that was so nice. So yeah. Gary, you know, I've already emailed him back and said thanks heaps, but you know, just publicly, Gary, thanks mate, thank you for taking the time to write all that stuff down, because you know, obviously being an Aussie who's only going to be there for, you know, half a day.
Yeah.
I obviously want to capitalize on the brief moment of time that I have there, and to have someone who's, you know, been there and had time to scout it out and to give me some, you know, advanced tips is just fantastic. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Gary, you should have made it the weekend Bruce is going to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I reckon Bruce would have bought you a beer.
Definitely.
You know?
So, if you're still in the area, Gary, yeah, let me know.
Yeah, if you can afford a day.
Because I don't know where Gary lives. He might live in the area, or he might have just been passing through.
Well, he went up for the weekend, so I presume he's not that far. Mm. But we'll find out, I suppose, when he corresponds and responds in kind. But anybody who open if you want to put your tripod next to the legendary Bruce Williams, if you want to be in his presence, if you want to have the light shine on you as it indeed does him, I would suggest that you take a moment out and plan your days to be with the great Bruce Williams as he photographs Yosemite, or anywhere in California for that matter. This man is going to be in your area, folks. Okay, it's an opportunity you don't want to miss. That's all I'm going to say. All right, he's photographing models. He's taking work out of my back pocket, you know. So even though he's in Sydney and I'm in Melbourne, I really think you should, you know, if you want to be in the presence of this legend, this Australian legend, then, you know, plan your weekends accordingly for the next few weeks, gang. All right? But getting back to what we were talking about, let's talk about a legend, a certain young Landon who has inspired us all on Shutters Inc. to look more seriously at doing some
timed exposures.
Now, you were speaking with Landon
via email. Yep,
and we are lining up to have him give us the lowdown from his perspective on, you know, long exposures, because with the advent of digital, that sort of went out the window. One of the things that I used to do a fair bit when I was away photographing with my friends, we'd sort of build a bit of a campfire, open up a nice bottle of scotch or, you know, can of beer or something, sit around for a few hours. But beforehand, we'd walk off to somewhere, we'd make sure that our location was fairly remote so that we had no city lights, and we would, you know, set up a little campfire somewhere. But before that, like I say, we'd set up our tripods, point at the, you know, the sky, do a big 2-3 hour exposure while we, you know, told each other stories, play guitar, had a bit of whiskey, and sat around a campfire. So we were taking a majestic photograph while, of course, we were just sitting around talking about how best to understand women and the various other philosophies of life. But with the advent of digital, and you know, that sort of went a little out the window, because the noise that, you know, accumulates in an image that is photographed over an hour or two is quite incredible. Even the noise that's, you know, you can get a fair bit of noise for a minute's exposure or 2 minutes exposure.
Right.
So it sort of went out the window, and I must admit, we haven't done anything like that for a long time. While we've been away, I've been tempted to just go out, because I've gotten rid of all my film cameras. They're just not viable for me anymore.
Really? You actually got rid of them?
Yeah, I don't have a film camera anymore.
Wow. What did you do with them?
Well, I sold them while I could. While in, really? You know, Australia is a very early adopting sort of country in terms of technology, and we are often used by corporations as a, you know, a demographic for the acceptance of technology. I don't know what it is about Australian culture, but we are known to be early adopters. We take on new technologies and run with it before we even really had time to think about it half the time. So digital in this country is basically everything. And very few photographers now actually shoot with film in relative terms.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we still have film photographers and there's still a lot of film around. But if, you know, in terms of percentage, I was at the Australian Photographic Society convention last week speaking in Albury. And I looked around for a film camera. There were 300 people there, and I looked around for a film camera, and I couldn't see one.
Really?
Everybody was walking around with DSLRs. Yeah. Everybody. So, and the presentations were all based on digital. Everything was based on digital. And so I've been tempted to sort of, you know, for this trip, just go out and buy a $100 Nikon body so I can do a couple of time exposures with a roll of film.
Mm.
But looking at Landon's work, I messaged him via Shutters Inc., you know, the Flickr site, and said, how do you avoid noise? And he, you know, gave me the lowdown. So we're going to talk about that. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about time exposures, the value of them. We're going to get Landon online. He is actually going to become part of this podcast and, you know, give us his tips on not only shooting in shooting long exposures, which he does so beautifully, but also how he manages to maintain, manage, reduce noise in an image. So it's going to be an interesting couple of podcasts, folks. And then what we're going to do, Bruce and I, we're actually going to take these things out into the field. So hopefully while you're in California, Bruce, you'll get a chance, now that you've got your cable release, to do some long exposures, as will I, as I do the Great Ocean Road over the Melbourne Cup weekend in early November. We're going to return to that in the podcasts following, because we're going to have a few weeks break while Bruce is in California. And we're going to actually see how this goes, and we'll upload some images. Mm. In the meantime, of course, we'd also love your input. But first of all, the great thing about photography is that you have shutter speeds and apertures, and both of these things are not only exposure tools, mechanical tools, scientific tools, but they are creative tools as well. Apertures we've discussed at length because we understand that they give us the bokeh of minimal and maximum depth of field, but we very rarely have talked about, you know, the value of shutter speeds and what they do. So we should perhaps talk about long shutter speeds for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Time is one of those great things. It's, you know, when we play with time, we're really playing with, you know, universal laws and things we could never control in any other way. It's the stuff of, you know, Einstein and Asimov, you know, that, you know, you can do just by leaving your shutter open. You leave your shutter open for a few seconds or a second or a fraction of a second in any particular instance, and you're already playing with time. I did a shoot yesterday for a shopping center in which I had to photograph some very busy stores, and I simply used time exposure to remove, you know, people from the shot. I was photographing in a liquor store. It was a very exciting shoot, folks, let me tell you. And I just set the tripod up, and there were a couple of people moving, and I thought, oh, well, I'm just going to take this shot. I can't get them out of the frame. I'll be here forever if I wait for an empty store. So over a 4-second exposure, this person was moving across the frame, and when I did my chimp at the end of the exposure, I noticed on the screen that he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Because it moved, you know, the element of time in the image, it actually kept the stable objects, and the moving person completely disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Because the nature of his movement and the shutter speed combination. So you're already starting to really play with some very interesting things in terms of time and using shutter speeds. When we photograph moving things, ocean tides, the earth moving beneath the stars, trees swaying in the wind, cars moving on highways, people moving in rooms, all the various, creative aspects of time come into play, things that we would never see with the human eye. So what you need, of course, is, yes, a camera that can, you know, naturally be set to shoot long exposures. And as you said earlier, Bruce, anything over 30 seconds and you're going to need a cable release, because our cameras will go down to 30 seconds, but, you know, we need often sometimes to shoot longer than that, minutes, hours sometimes, if we really want an interesting effect. So you're going to need a cable release, a lockable cable release, something easy to use and something fairly reliable. You're also going to need a good, sturdy tripod with a good, sturdy, solid head, and something that doesn't move, you know, too much, especially if your exposures are going to be a little while, especially if you're maybe down on the seaside and there's a bit of wind. The last thing you want in a time exposure where you actually want to see the value of the passing of time in the image is blur on the sharp objects. Because in a time image, The sharp objects create the contrast with the moving elements within the frame, and there give you the idea of time. I was looking on screen at one of Landon's photographs on the Flickr site, Shutter's Inc. Flickr site, and I was showing my son on the monitor. I said, you know, look, isn't this interesting? And he said, yeah, boy, you know, look at that fog on the ocean. and I said, it's not fog, actually. They're the waves. And he said, how do they do that? And I explained. And he said, that's cool. I'm going to do that on our weekend away, Dad, you know. And so, you know, but had there not been rocks, you know, in Landon's photograph, sharp rocks, foreground, the notion of movement would have been completely lost. So you need to have a good solid tripod as well. And I would suggest maybe a good ball head if you're going to be doing a lot of this. But we can confirm that with Landon even and see what he uses. He's our long exposure expert on Shutter's Inc. that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. So we can even find out perhaps what tripod and head combination he uses. And it would be interesting to see. Then, of course, you know, what to shoot. Well, as we said before, we mentioned a few ideas. But the idea of a time exposure really should be to create a contrast between, yeah, that which is moving and that which isn't, so that the passing of time is clearly evident. And, you know, people moving in front of buildings, oceans, tides, waves, the movement of the stars and planets, but stars particularly, if you include the moon in a long exposure, it actually just tends to become this great big thumping white streak. But if you were just, you know, which is fair, I have had that happen. I remember years ago, I set up an exposure, it went for 2 hours, and then just went off and joined my friends while my camera sat on the tripod for 2 hours. And I hadn't actually calculated that during that 2 hours, the moon that I had not included in frame would move into frame.
Oh, right.
And I got the transparency back, and there was a thumping, great, big white streak that just came in from the corner and ruined everything. So, yeah, best just be careful not to include the moon, especially if it's a full moon, you know, on some of your star or your, you know, photographs of the heavens. But to just point your camera skyward, for instance, and just have a circle of colored lines is fairly boring. If you were to do a photograph like that, you might want to, as I did, include some old homestead, some solid stable element that has foreground and interest, and have that which is moving as, you know, the frame, the level of interest, the nature of the interest. So I would, find those kinds of things to photograph and set your camera up very solidly to do that. And I'd love to see what things people have photographed with time. So, you know, if you're listening, send something up to us or load something up on your Flickr site so that we can have a look at some of the ways you've played with time. We've talked about panning and using long shutter speeds for panning. But usually those shutter speeds are only an eighth or a 15th or of a second, you know, maybe shorter, longer. But we're really now talking about something that's a minute, 2 minutes, 3, 5, 10, half an hour, 2 hours. And, you know, that's what we're really talking about. Now, I know immediately everybody's going to be saying, well, what about noise? Because as your time exposure, as you know, as the light basically hits the sensor, it will create heat in the sensor, in the pixels, and they will just blow out and create what, you know, random noise, basically pixels that lose their they lose what they're actually recording, just heat up, overheat, and create a randomly colored pixel. And the key to overcoming this is in the random nature of these pixels. And we're going to actually, you know, talk about that over the next few weeks or the next couple of weeks. Each software program, and I don't know whether you've ever used one, Bruce, have you ever tried to reduce noise in an image?
No, I haven't.
It's not, to my mind, there is really no incredibly successful way of doing it.
Right.
Often the noise reduction elements within, you know, or parts of the program, like in Photoshop or PaintShop Pro, tend to just blend the pixels.
Right.
They don't, you know...
Which means they soften the image.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you don't want that, you know. And then, of course, you've got to go into it and you've got to, you know, you've got to retain sharpness, but it doesn't really... It's just not that successful. I'd love to see a program, and I haven't researched this, so I'm just talking off the top of my head, but I'd love to see a program that said, look, here's a red pixel, but all the pixels around it are green. I should make this green as well. I don't know of a program that does that. And that would possibly be a more successful way of reducing noise, because they are just randomly colored pixels. And I would have thought that someone would have been able to make a program that says, hey, we can do that. You know, if everything around is black and all of a sudden you've got this white or red or green pixel, then make a program that actually, instead of just softening the pixels and blending them, actually changes the color of those random pixels. And of course, if it had a slider whereby you could, you know, control how much it did that, that would be very good. But there are programs like Noise Ninja and similar programs that people can download, buy off the internet, that reduce noise. But in an image that's very noisy, you know, such as something that would be, you know, a minute, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, whatever exposure, that may be a bit of a problem. And so what you'd end up doing is probably really softening a lot of the solid, sharp elements that you require to actually have the playoff, as we talked about earlier. The sharpness gives you an indication of, you know, the passing of time, in contrast to the soft and moving elements within it. So I actually contacted Landon and I said, look, how is it that you are able to do a 4 minute exposure of the ocean, and I look at your picture and I see that there's really no noise to speak of? Admittedly, I'm only looking at a low res image on a screen, but I'm looking at it at viewing distance. If I was to make an 8x10 print of it, I'm sure at viewing distance it would still be very acceptable. And I'd like to actually get Landon's take on this. His response to me via Flickr was that he practices something called dark frame subtraction. So he doesn't use Noise Ninja or reduce the noise in Photoshop or other programs. He has another means by which he reduces noise, and it's very, very successful. I've done a little bit of research on it. I heard about it, but never actually investigated it further, you know? Mm-hmm. So I did a little bit of research. And basically what you do, as this is what Landon says, he takes, say, a 4 minute exposure. And then in exactly the same situation, he just puts his lens cap on and he takes from exactly the same place and exactly the same time, the same exposure again with the lens cap on to create what we call the dark frame. So if he's done a 4 minute exposure of the ocean, he then will follow that up very quickly with a 4 minute exposure of the lens cap, which is just a dark frame. But remembering that in those conditions, the sensor, now this is the theory, the sensor should heat up, and give you, random pixels in much the same way as it did in the other image. But if you take then the image that you've shot, say the ocean or the seascape over 4 minutes, and then the dark frame that you've taken in exactly the same time and place for 4 minutes, and you place those two images as layers in Photoshop, and then in Photoshop, you, instead of just having a normal, instead of having your layers set to normal, you set your layers to difference. And the dark frame subtraction method removes so many of the random pixels that are caused by the heat and, you know, the long exposure, that you reduce noise significantly because of that process. And we'll get Landon to explain some of his tweaks and tips perhaps a little more. But just to sort of finish off this segment today, try this. Now, I'm going to do it as we speak, okay? So as I'm online, as I'm speaking here, I'm going to just suggest this. Get an image. Just get any image you like, high-res image that you've taken. Doesn't have to have noise in it. Just let's say it's a picture of your family, whatever. You take an image and open it in Photoshop, and this will just show you how this actually works. And I tried this, and it's really cool. And you make a duplicate layer of that image, and then you click on the top image, your duplicate layer. Right? Press Control A or Apple A to select all of it, delete it, and then fill it with black. So you just get your bucket tool and fill the image with black.
There's a keyboard shortcut too. If black is your background color, Control Backspace.
Control Backspace. And if, there you go.
And if black is your foreground color, then it's Alt Backspace.
Okay, cool. And what if you wanted to fill it with white?
Well, you can. Yeah, usually you will have on your toolbar palette as your default colors, black and white. If you've been mucking around with the colors and you've got other things, you can hit D, I think it is. Mm. Is it D or X? One of those two will reset the two colors, the foreground and background color, to black and white. And I think it's D for default and then X to swap them backwards and forwards. And whatever is your foreground color, If you use Alt Backspace, that will do a fill with foreground color, and a Control Backspace will do fill with background color.
Right. I just tried it, and you're absolutely right. You know, I've never done that. There you go. I love keyboard shortcuts.
Oh, so do I.
And I've never done that. So, okay, so it works.
Okay,
so I've just done that.
So we're creating a layer on top of the image and filling it with black.
And filling it with black. Mm-hmm. Now, then click on your original image, right, and take your little eye signal off so you only see that. And just fill it with noise. Just go to, you know, filter, noise, add noise. And I've just added a noise level of 9, right, to my Gaussian monochromatic. Yeah, just added to the bottom image, the original image. Mm-hmm. Now I'm clicking on the top black layer, and I'm going to do exactly the same thing again and add noise to the top layer, the black layer. Exactly the same amount, exactly the same way, right? So now I have a layer, the background layer, and the background, you know, or the original image, which in my case, I've just chosen a picture of Delta Goodrum. How's that? and then the background, then the copy of that, which is black on the top. Both I've added noise to. You know, it's just random noise that Photoshop has thrown into the bottom and the top. Just the same amount of noise.
Yep.
Now in layers, I'm going to go to difference. Now immediately, I see Delta Goodrum performing again, right?
Right.
And now I'll just zoom in up on it, and away we go. Now if I take my little look, the difference is incredible. If I take the if I only see the bottom image, the original image, it's very noisy. But the moment that I click on both layers simultaneously, the noise is immediately reduced.
Wow.
Significantly by doing that. And this is just something I've done at random here. This is just something that I've done with an image that really didn't have any noise. I added noise, and then I added noise onto my black layer. And immediately I click my little, you know, click off that layer. I can see so much more noise in the bottom image than if I used both layers on the difference mode Photoshop. So it works. Now imagine then that you've taken your time exposure image, and then, you know, you've got your dark frame image taken immediately thereafter with exactly the same length of shutter speed. Your pixels would be more aligned for that mode and would be far more effective in removing the noise. So it really does work. I've never tried it, never seen the need, or never really pursued it as such. But now that I know this, I'm going to do, I'm going to be trying this. Another way that in digital that a lot of people have been talking about shooting long exposures or getting the same effect as long exposures is by doing several exposures over shorter periods. For instance, instead of doing a 2-minute exposure of 120 seconds, they would do, 12, 10-second exposures, and then put them all as layers in Photoshop and stack them, and reducing the opacity within each layer by a certain percentage from the bottom layer through to the top, you actually can seriously reduce noise based on the fact that your pixels are random. And, you know, as you go through using the difference mode in layers, from layer to layer, you will, reduce noise by the time you get to, the 10th layer, quite considerably. The disadvantage of that is, of course, that you don't have the same effect as you would with maybe a 2-minute exposure one exposure, in terms of how the time and the movement of your subject has affected the look of the image.
Yep.
But, you know, there are different ways that you can actually achieve this using a combination of in-camera work and then, of course, your post-processing work to seriously reduce noise and create some interesting time effects in your pictures. So if you have a method that you've used that is apart from, say, using Noise Ninja, but even if you found that very successful or some of the noise-removing elements within your software, let us know. But I am very, very impressed with the thought of dark frame subtraction as my method for this kind of work. And I'll be looking at even using and trying the Photoshop stacking method as well, which will include taking, like I say, several 10-second exposures instead of 1 2-minute exposure, stacking them and then seeing how we go. Photoshop stacking stacking in layers has been around a long time, but the new smart object stacking is going to be an interesting thing that Photoshop users are going to find a lot of uses for. This may be just one of them, reducing noise in images, static images or timed images, that could be very, very successful. So let's, over the next few weeks, explore this a little bit further, because using time in our images is just so fantastic. Always has been.
Yeah.
And when digital came along, we thought, oh, I can't do that anymore. But we actually can, very successfully, I think. Looking at Landon's images, very successfully. So that's, you know, that there's a guide for us to think about and work towards over the next next few weeks.
Absolutely. Sounds good. We've had some more submissions for the landscape competition, which is good. Keep them coming.
That's
you can
great.
Just send them to studio@audiotou.com. Just remember, try and size them to 72 dpi and no wider than 700 pixels. And that should be good.
Right. So
it's good to see that we've got plenty of coming in now, which is great.
Yeah, nice to see. And some interaction on Flickr and all those things. That's really great. Been a little short on for emails from you guys. I don't know if I've offended you, but would love to keep hearing from you. I do try to respond to as many of you as possible. So if I have not, you know, forgive me. It's just been a very busy few weeks and, you know, a lot of emails.
Absolutely.
But I'd love to keep hearing from you and know that what we're doing here at Shutters Inc. is still to your liking.
Absolutely. All right, mate. Thank you for that.
No worries. Thank you.
And we'll talk with you next week.
Yeah. Well, us and hopefully Landon all going.
Absolutely.
We'll be doing three-part harmonies next week.
All right, mate. Talk to you then.
Good on you, mate.
See ya.
See ya.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control D to bookmark. AudioToYou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.